It's told that someone asked Albert Einstein. You don't hear about him too much anymore today. But in his day, he was like a world-renowned physicist, supposedly some type of a genius. Said that somebody, one of the maskilim, said about the Rogatchover, that if you took the Rogatchover's brain and cut it into 200 parts, you'd have 200 Einsteins, and he would still be left with some. But anyway, Einstein was considered this genius. And they once asked him, Professor Einstein, if you could meet a figure from ancient history, who would you like to meet? You know, from way back. They thought he would say one of the big, original, you know, early scientists who were the predecessors in some of his ideas and theories. And he said, I would like to meet Moses. And I'd like to ask Moses if he really believed that thousands of years later, his descendants, his people, would still be studying and observing the same Torah that he gave them. It was mind-boggling to him that this Torah, with its mitzvahs, should have survived through thousands of years, and the last 2,000 almost have been treacherous, bloody years under some of the most difficult conditions in all of human history. And yet here we are today to study and observe the same Torah as it was given from Har Sinai 3,329 years ago. And this to him was the most mind-boggling idea. How could it be? Would you ever have imagined that that's what's going to happen? So I wanted to talk just for a moment or two, a very short few moments, about the secret of the survival of the Torah and the secret of the survival of the Klal Yisrael. And the truth of the matter is that they are tied together. We read in the Parsha, in Parsha's Toldos, the Pasuk says that when Yaakov came, when Yitzchak came to get the bracha, when Yaakov came to get the brachas from Yitzchak, and he was dressed up, you know, with this hairy outfit, trying to pretend that he's Esav. So Yitzchak says to him, he was blind Yitzchak, and he says to him, Hakol kol Yaakov, v'hayodayim yedei Esav. The voice is the voice of Yaakov. Sounded familiar to him. But the hands, he touched him, are the hands of Esav. They were very hairy, like Esav's hands. And the Vilna Goin points out that the word Hakol, which normally should be spelt Kuf Vav Lamed, the first Hakol is Kuf Lamed without the Vav, and then it says Hakol Koil with Kuf Vav Lamed with the Vav. And he says that really it means to be Meramis, to hint to us that it should be read as Hakal Koil Yaakov V'hayodayim Yedei Esav. When the Koil Yaakov, the Koil HaTorah, emanating from the Bote Midroshes of the world, is kal, is light, is weak, then the Yodayim Yedei Esav can be upon us. Then Esav has free reign on the Klal Yisrael. But if it's the Koil Yaakov, if it's not kal but it's chozok, when the Koil Yaakov, when the Koil HaTorah that emanates from the Bote Medrash is strong, then Esav doesn't have a chance. The Hayodayim Yedei Esav cannot touch us. And that really is the lesson of our history. Throughout our history we found that when the Klal Yisrael was fully committed and observant and studying and dedicated to the Torah, then our life was idyllic. We had a Beis HaMikdosh, and we had the most amazing, miraculous existence. We lived in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Asher Eine Hashem Elekecho Bo Meireishis Shono V'ad Achri Shono. Hashem had this special Ashgocha Protis on Eretz Yisrael beyond anything that exists in the rest of the world. There was the observance of Shemitah, that every time that they kept, when they kept the Shemitahs, then the sixth year would produce a bumper crop that was enough to feed them for the sixth, for the seventh, and into the eighth until they managed to plant and to reap, because the seventh year they weren't allowed to do anything. And they lived a life of miracles. And all of this was when the Koil Yaakov was strong. But whenever it was diminished, whenever there was a weakened, Chazal say that that everybody searched the Nevi'im, the Chachomim. Why was the Beis Hamikdash destroyed, the first Beis Hamikdash? And of course we know there were some serious Averis that were done, but Chazal say, Viter HaKodesh Baruch Hu al Gilei HaRayos v'Chasdomei v'Avodah Zarah. On the three Averis, Chamuras Hashem was willing to be Mevater. But he couldn't be Mevater on the Oven Bittul Torah. The Torah that was lacking was the Makeh B'Patish, was the seal, the fate of the Klal Yisrael, that they had to be a Churban Beis Hamikdash and an exile because the Torah was lacking. In fact, Chazal say that while Me'ov de Ha'oretz, so it says, Al Ozve Mes Torosi Asher Nosati B'Soichem, because of this lessened connection with the Torah. And Chazal say, they didn't say Birchas HaTorah. They didn't appreciate. It seems there was Torah there too, but they didn't appreciate what a gift it was, what a privilege it was, that this is the secret of our survival, that we remain alive and we remain well and we remain functional only in the Zchus HaTorah. And when the Torah light, is Yodayim Yedei Esav, the enemy has full reign over us. As long as the Torah is strong, we're protected from everything. And this has repeated itself again and again and again. And every tragic tkufa in Jewish history can be traced to a preceding fall and weakness in the commitment of those people. We had the Maisa, you know, when in the last century in Germany, the level of assimilation was horrendous. And of course, that's when began the destruction that actually eventually spread all over Europe, which also was already, due to the Haskalah, was already on a great Torah decline. And this really is the essence of our history. This is the story of our history. And the truth of the matter is that it's really a unique secret that we have, because there are religions that have rituals, that have rules, that have observances, things that they have to do, whatever they may be. But there is no religion that has the confidence that their directives were given to them by the Creator Himself in a public forum in front of millions of eyewitnesses in a way that everybody should know clearly, this is it. This is from the boss. This is from the Creator. And therefore the kesher that the Klal Yisrael has with that Torah is so strong. It's been able to survive because it isn't the product of man's thinking. It isn't the claim of a private revelation, a person who says that God appeared to me in my hotel room or in my when I was on the road or in my dreams, as major religions claim. But no, this was given to us in front of millions of eyewitnesses. This is real. This is the same Torah that you have over here that's been studied and passed down accurately in the same form for thousands of years. They just now discovered some very fascinating thing. I just saw it this week, I think. There are some scrolls, Dead Sea Scrolls that they found, that are so fragile that you can't open them to read them. So they found a way through some virtual vision to see through the closed scroll and to be able to print a picture of everything that's written inside. Amazing. And they discovered once again, as they should, that it's identical. Here, this is from some 2,000 years ago. Identical with our Sifrei Torah. Jews came from Taimana. They were separated from Claudius, from the rank and file of Claudius Royal for close to 2,000 years. Came back with the same Sefer Torah, maybe one letter in Suadaka was switched to Hay or an Aleph, which doesn't change anything. This is a Torah, and we know this is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is the purpose for which He created the world, and these are His directives for us. And when we study that Torah, we're studying the Torah Hashem. And when we make that Baruch Hashem, Baruch Harbonu Mikolo Ami Menosan Lono Es Torosai, we're recognizing the fact that Hashem gave us directly the Torah in a way that there's no mistake about it. We don't have to be confused. We don't have to say, how do I know that the author is truly the right author? We know. And that's where our strength comes from. And that's why when the Koil Yaakov is strong, when the commitment to Torah is strong, then Klal Yisrael is invincible because we're fulfilling the purpose of creation. We're fulfilling the purpose for which we are put here. When we don't fulfill that purpose, when the Torah voice becomes light, Then we need mid-course adjustments. And that's when the adjustments come in. And the truth of the matter is, that's what our history has been. Our history has been a lot of adjustments. Because every time there's something devastating, then there's something that grows and comes back with a new passion and a new fervor to make up for the losses of the previous generation. We see today in Russia, where for so many years, Torah was forbidden. They used to learn with Mesiras Nefesh, hiding in cellars and knowing that if they'd be caught, that they would be put to death, maybe. Terrible things. And today, there's passion there. I'm shocked when I hear stories of people who came back from Russia, what's going on in the communities and this, because that's what happens. We sometimes get weak, and there comes a correction in the form of Hayodayim Yedei Esav, and then we strengthen ourselves again. And that's what happened. You know, 75 years ago, after the Holocaust, nobody would have believed that the world would look like it looks today. Moistus HaTorah all over the world. And every one of them, far greater in numbers, and certainly in real estate and in and the glory and amazing buildings and campuses and facilities that they have, far more than they were. The famous yeshivas in Europe were small little buildings, dilapidated almost, with a couple of hundred talmidim. And today, their campuses, palaces with thousands of students. And this is what happens. So this is really the lesson, I think. And this is the answer to Einstein. Moses knew that his Torah would survive because he knew that the secret of survival is in that Torah. And if he succeeded, which he did, in passing that Torah on to the next generation accurately, and the next generation continues to pass it on to their children, then they have the formula and they have the guarantee of continued life, continued success, and continued happiness. And therefore, I think that we should ponder the privilege that we have. You know, unfortunately, too many people feel burden. And it's a burden. We have responsibilities. Have to get up at a certain time in the morning. Some of you people, I understand, have to get up at really very difficult times in the morning. We have a lot of responsibility. We have a lot of things to do. But on the other hand, it's privilege, not burden. What a privilege it is to be in contact, to study the Word of Hashem. The Word of Hashem that was given at Har Sinai and passed down accurately for thousands of years. What a privilege it is to be able to live a life according to the Word of Hashem and to benefit from that. Benefit in human development, in human refinement, in character definement, in human perfection, and in true happiness in life, in knowing that I am fulfilling my true purpose. So I think we should all feel very privileged and happy, and we should recognize and keep it in mind that when the commitment to Torah is great, everything else falls into place. And I want to just share with you one little personal anecdote which took place many years ago, but it describes this in a more modern context. We, for many years, we established a yeshiva in Los Angeles in the San Fernando Valley. And at the time, we had a high school, a very small post-high school, Beis Medrash division, just as a token to keep those that couldn't leave to go away to the yeshivas in New York and in Eretz Yisrael. They had a place to learn, but the goal was not that, because Los Angeles, we didn't feel was the place that these B'nai Torah should be spending their formative years. One summer, a group who had already been away in yeshivas came back, about five or six of them, and they said they would be willing to stay for the year to learn in the Beis Medrash. It would be a tremendous chizuk to the Beis Medrash and to the high school and to the community. It was a beautiful thing. They were already B'nai Torah. They had learned. It was a very, very positive potential. But they had one condition, that besides just giving a daily shir, which I used to do, I should spend the morning Seder 4 hours in the Beis Medrash, be able to talk and learning with them and to help them, whatever. And I said, I don't think I could do such a thing. I owed, I don't remember what it was, I think $300,000 of previous years for the yeshiva. I had to raise another $350,000 for this year, and I also have to teach in the high school. I have to hear, how can I spend 4 hours a day prime time in the Beis Medrash? But I said, you know, I don't want to make a rash decision. give me 24 hours, I'll give you an answer tomorrow. This was like in Ov, like right before Rosh Chodesh Elul. So I go home, I ask my wife, and she says, submission in Pirkei Ovis. Omer, third perek, Omer Reb Nechuna ben Hakona, HaMekabel lo lev oil Torah, Ma'avir menu oil Malchus v'ol derech Eretz. One who accepts the burden of Torah, then miraculously will be removed from him the burden of Malchus, government, which meant all the taxes and the payroll taxes that you have to pay, and derech Eretz, and making money, making a living. I was Makabel. I said, Rosh Chodesh Elul, I'm going to do it. The next morning, I told the guys that Rosh Chodesh Elul, I'm going to be sitting in the Beis Medrash the whole morning. That night, I met a young man who was a former student of ours. And he says, my father wants to talk to you. He might have something of interest to you. I call up his father. Make a long story short, he introduced me to a very sick man who was really dying. Had no family. It looked like he lived in mamish poverty. I still remember walking into his house. He couldn't even walk from the living room to the kitchen where he wanted to meet me. He had to crawl over all the junk, the nylon webbing is what he sold, whatever that is, to get there. It was a pathetic situation. This individual passed away about a month later. He wrote a will before he did, left the yeshiva money, and he didn't know how much money he had. It turned out that when the will was whatever, he left the yeshiva $1 million. Now this is 35 years ago, $1 million was money. Today, you gotta be a billionaire today, you know, to really be significant. I mean, don't worry, if you make $100 million, it's also good. But anyway, the same day, the morning I was Makabel, the night I was introduced, a couple weeks later, $1 million from yeshiva. It's the secret of our success. The secret of our survival is the Torah. And when we mekabel the oil Torah, then all of the other burdens will be removed. When ha'kal koil Yaakov, then we have tzoras. When ha'koil koil Yaakov, then we shine. Have a good Shabbos.